Good morning and Happy New Year. Let's make this the greatest year that we've ever had. And it's within our power because God has given us that power. It has nothing to do with health or circumstances or COVID or the government, but what's going on in our minds and our hearts and our walk with God. It is my prayer, and this is not a New Year's Day sermon that may come, but just a greeting to my beloved brothers and sisters. Let's make it great. So we're going to be in Colossians, as you can tell from the reading. Colossians chapter 4. Get this going. Looked like there was some lag time today, Mike, as you were working this. Today is about devoting, we're told to devote yourselves to prayer, Colossians 4 and verse 2. And it's kind of amazing, but I want to take a look at the big picture real quickly in chapter 1, part of the big picture, and then look at a little bit of detail. So in chapter 1, let's see how I'm going to do this. In chapter 1, we remember what Christ did, why this is called the book about his supremacy, about the awesomeness of Jesus, because the Holy Spirit reveals to us that it was he that was involved in the creation, behind the creation. And in Colossians 1:16, it says, "For by him," if you read the context, this is clearly talking about Jesus the Christ who redeemed us. "For by him," Jesus, "all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." So there's a lot of people that you know that believe in Jesus, that try to follow him, that don't know that that God gave the creation responsibilities to Jesus. He created a masterpiece. It's incredible. Bill showed some of that to us in his class on evolution, just an absolute masterpiece. And we're like a speck. In our own eyes, we're like a speck of dust in comparison to the size, the grandeur. That's only in our own eyes, though. But not only did he create the masterpiece we call the universe and give it as a gift, but in the next verse it says, he, Jesus, again, you can tell from the context if you read it, he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. So he created a masterpiece, but then he keeps the symphony going. He keeps the symphony going in perfect orchestration, in perfect harmony. I mean, it's unbelievable, some of the things I learned in the evolution class, just about a single cell in the human body, or about the rotation of the 8 or 9 planets, depends on who's counting, circling the sun, or all the planets circling in the galaxy, or the billion galaxies expanding throughout the... And he keeps it all together. It's working with precision and beauty and harmony. And it's incredible. And like I said, in my eyes, when I consider the universe and then I consider little me, I'm like a speck of dust in my own eyes, but not to God. Not to God. As magnificent as everything is and as minuscule as we are, in God's sight, we're shining lights. We're bright lights, pushing away the darkness, bringing in the love of God, making a difference in our own lives, family, friends, people we don't know yet. But in his sight, we are called sons and daughters of God. Incredible. Not specks, not insignificant, but beloved and precious in his sight. So here's this creator that sits at the right hand of God the Father. It says in Colossians 3:1, it says, "Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Here they are ruling together as one, along with the Holy Spirit, ruling as one. And even though some of us see ourselves as specks of dust, he says something that I find that was too fast. He says something. The Creator says, talk to me. My creatures, talk to me. Devote yourself to prayer. Prayer is a word that means when you're addressing God. It's speaking to God, but it's talking. And to the people who are specks in our own eyes, he says, I want you to express yourself. I want you to talk to me. I want to know your hearts, because Jesus said that out of the heart, had it memorized, but out of the heart proceeds the words of man. But our words, I'm going to have to paraphrase it, they reveal what's in our heart. And Jesus says it more than once. When we speak to him, even though he can read our hearts, our speech reveals where we're at with him, our love or lack of it for him, our love or lack of it for other people. He says, talk to me. The Creator tells little us, talk to me. So we're going to study this verse. Last week it was bigger, but since I had a week off, I said, you know, there's too much in the first verse 2 through 6, six major points. I can barely remember three. I thought, you know, we're going to narrow it down to one verse. Amen. Because it's so powerful. I hope that you get a lot out of it. Amen. I certainly have. But here it is. This is a short verse. 13 words in English, but in Greek, it was written in Greek, only 8 words. 3 major points in 8 little words. And by the way, just so you know, what are you talking about? Well, different languages can combine thoughts to take several English words to make one to make one Greek word. Well, you see the with an attitude of thanksgiving, it's italicized. If you have a New American Standard, it's italicized in your Bible. That means it was added by the translators to kind of make it flow better, to help us maybe get the gist better, but they're not in the Greek. It just says, keeping the Lord in it with thanksgiving. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping the Lord in it with thanksgiving. Only 8 words in the Greek, 3 major points. So with that, we're gonna dig in. I'm just gonna play with this font size just a little bit. Okay, so we're going to take 3 sections of this. Our first one is devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. What does that mean? And most of you know, but I still learned quite a bit as I dug into it. Before we look at that, I want to look at another one that's very similar in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very similar, but not the same. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. I want to tackle that first because I think it'll help us get to devote yourself to prayer a little bit better. So pray without ceasing. The idea is it's continual, it's frequent, it's ongoing, this conversation with God ongoing all the time. But it doesn't mean nonstop. It doesn't mean there's no time of silence. That's impossible. As Terry was up here doing the Lord's Supper, I'm sure he prayed about it before he came and maybe in pause in the middle. But when you're talking, as I'm talking now, as you're addressing people, it's hard to pray at the same time, maybe in the gaps, but it doesn't mean nonstop. When elders have elders meetings, I don't imagine you're praying every second, because you have to converse and express ideas and go over things you disagree upon. And so pray without ceasing is not nonstop, but it's flowing. It's continual. It's the way God wants us to be and to live. It's like a road trip with a loved one. If you're sitting close to each other, you're driving along, and your conversation is spontaneous a lot of the time. Oh, look at that rainbow. Isn't God awesome? Or, man, can you believe Mount Rainier today or Mount Hood? And just spontaneous things come to view, or things pop into our minds, and we're relaxed. We feel good in a loving presence, and we share with one another. Other times, we're driving along, and maybe we're quiet. Maybe no speech is going at all, but we're very aware that the person we love is really close by, We know we're in the presence and we're enjoying being in the presence, and we know that at any moment we can speak. So spontaneous, quiet time, sometimes pensive. It's just, you know, we say, we're driving along and we say, you know, what do you think about taking our next vacation, making it a 3-week road trip, and we go visit your mom and dad, and we go to Florida, and it just pensive, and you're asking questions. What have you ever thought about, or what should we do when we retire, or just questions, and then sometimes it's profound. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you, love you, or man, I've been chewing on this Bible verse. And you know, it says that God says in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's 3:11, that he set eternity in our hearts. And set eternity in our hearts. I mean, I get this feel, but what, how does that work? And so you got all these things, spontaneous, quiet, pensive, profound, communication without ceasing, even if there's quiet moments. And I will also say this, that if we have that kind of communication with God, pray without ceasing, it involves devotion. There's no doubt about it. It involves a growth and wanting to be closer to God. And because we're devoted to Him, we're devoted to talking to Him. But it's not quite the same in my understanding. So we move on to devote yourself to prayer. We've just talked about maybe being in someone's presence, like on a road trip with a spouse, just like we're in God's presence all the time. How we're walking in the light. How we're hand in hand with our Lord, even though we can't see Him. We're walking with Him always, enjoying His love, protection, guidance. And we can speak to Him spontaneously anytime we want. And I think that's the idea of pray without ceasing or pensively. But back to our loved one. Is there any time, if we have that, you know, great communication, I have a lot to work on there, but if we have this great communication, is there any time when we should still plan a time to talk? Maybe there's some heavy issue we just need to work on. What should we do about such and such? And sometimes some major things that need discussion take some forethought and planning. And I see that as fitting into the idea of devote yourself to prayer. Yes, all the time without ceasing, but there are times to set aside like Jesus did. Get up at night, go away by himself to the top of a mountain and pray for hours. He set it aside. It was extremely important to him. And I think that builds on the praying without ceasing. There are times to plan it. Now, Daniel had 3 prayer times a day, if you read the book of Daniel. Not talking about that. Just saying, you know, I need to have a heart-to-heart with God. There's some things that are just, I'm rejoicing about or heavy on my heart, but I need to spend some time without interruption. I love what you said in the Lord's Supper, Terry. He said, there's a time to cut out the noise so we can focus on the things that are really important. Perfect for today's sermon, by the way. I see that as devoting yourself to prayer. There are times when nothing's getting in the way. I need to be with God without interruption, with some planning before I talk to Him. Even though He can read my heart, I get all that. But I just need that time so I can express myself well to Him. Devotion to prayer. It means real commitment, high priority. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know your walk. I can only look at mine, but or people that I know well, I can ask questions of. But I look back, early days of Christian, I prayed. And then middle years as a Christian, my older years as a Christian. And I've never felt my prayer life was right where it should be. I've said to myself, man, I'm still missing opportunities. I'm still not setting aside private time sometimes. But he says, devote. And so You know, every one of you is here because you're devoted. Devoted. That's why you're here. You let nothing else get in the way. Even the scary, icy roads out there, you made it a point to be here this morning, not watch football or anything else, but you're devoted this time as you do weekly. It's devoted. It's special. Things don't get in the way unless they're, you know, an emergency or whatever. That's the idea of devotion. So what about how many of you, don't raise your hand, but some of you might be devoted. We should all be devoted to family, to each other. Maybe health. Some of you might be devoted to health or just a hobby that you love. You can see if a person devoted something by the energy, right? The time spent. And so if you've known me long, you know, the top thing out of spiritual and family, the top thing I love the most is fly fishing and being blessed with a dad who was a school teacher. We'd go for weeks at a time every single summer. It was devoted time to family and fishing. And I could fish 100 days a year. I fished 40 or 50 before. I could fish 100 days a year and want more. I mean, I relish it. I crave it. I love it. But I'm not devoted. You know why I'm not devoted? I spent 4 hours fishing this year. 4 hours. That's not prioritizing. That's not devotion. That's liking something without devotion. We can like prayer and not be devoted to it, or we can show God with our actions and our time and the energy and the effort, because it takes effort to devote ourselves to prayer. But I think that's what is included in the idea of devoting yourself to prayer, man. I'm going to have some time when nothing's going to distract me. I'm going to get rid of the noise, devoted to God and just speaking to Him and listening to Him. So that's the idea of devoted. In Acts 6:2, here's an example. So the 12 apostles. Judas is gone. Matthias is there now. So the 12 summoned the congregation of disciples and said, forgot. What's happening to this? There are widows. Back then, no Social Security. Widows could be in real trouble, dire need. Maybe they're too old to work anymore, but they needed help. And the church did that, commanded to do that in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So there were Jewish widows that were naturally born in the land of Israel, spoke Hebrew. There were Hellenistic, it means Grecian, Jews that spoke Greek. And there was apparently some bias among native-born Jews, Hellenistic Jews. And if you read Acts 6:1, you'll see that the widows that were Hellenistic, Greek, were getting overlooked, not getting the food they needed. So the apostles said to them, they summoned the congregation, and they said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. It was huge work. Those widows needed to be fed, but the apostles shouldn't be doing it. They shouldn't be the ones serving tables. Therefore, brethren, as they continue, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. Choose the right guy. But we, apostles, will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, or preaching, to the lost and the saved. They said, our priority, the widows are huge. They need to be taken care of. Do it. Want to make sure it's done. But we have a higher priority. Talking with God, saving souls. So they devoted, they put aside time and energy, and there are lots of examples in the New Testament of them doing that for significant periods of time. So moving on from devoting yourself to prayer, let's go to the idea of keeping the Lord in it. Keeping the Lord in it. What does that mean? Some people, you can look at definitions, and Badag is a really reliable Greek dictionary or lexicon. Badag says, First definition, stay awake, be watchful. The second one is to be in constant readiness and be on the alert. Now, I know you can think of one. When the night that Jesus was betrayed, he went to the garden first to pray. And he said, you guys stay here. He brought three disciples a little further. You stay here, pray and keep watch. It's the same exact Greek word, keep alert, he tells them, and pray. And so check out Mark 14:38. He says to these three, Peter, James, and John, keep watching. That means, that's the same word, be alert. Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is he telling them not to go to sleep? Because they did go to sleep, didn't they? They were so heavy laden with grief, if you read the other Gospels, that they fell asleep. Is he saying don't sleep? Because that is the definition of keeping alert, but that's not what this verse is telling us to do. Can you ever fall asleep when you pray? Ever go to bed and, yeah, I still have more to talk to about God, and so you pray and you nod off? Praise God. The last thing you did was honor the Father and talk to Him. It's opinion, but sometimes when I can't sleep, I'll say, you know what? I need to pray more anyway. I'll just pray till I fall asleep. I see nothing wrong with that, only good. Talk to the one you love and the one that loves you till you finally fall asleep. Fantastic. But that's not what Jesus is telling them. Don't fall asleep now. He's saying, praying that you may not come into temptation. He told them just before that, all of you are going to fall away tonight. Peter says, not me. I'll die first. You'll fall away too, and you'll fall away before morning, before the crucer, before the rooster crows three times. Stay here, keep watch, so you don't fall into temptation. I need prayer. You need prayer. Pray that you'll come back to God soon after you fall away. Pray that you'll be strong when you're tempted, when you're persecuted, when you're preaching the word to the lost. Pray, pray, pray that the kingdom will be set up. Souls will be saved. Stay alert. That's the idea that we're being given in Colossians 4, verse 2, when it says, keeping alert in it. Now, a couple of details. Keeping alert in it. First of all, how many times do you miss opportunity to pray about something that's important? I can't believe I didn't pray for that person or for this need. I knew my interview was coming up, and I can't believe I didn't spend an hour talking to God about it ahead of time. Your will be done, or help me do a good job, or honor them, or opportunities left and right. And by the way, next week, in the very next verse, Colossians 4:3-4:6, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is talking about winning souls. They're everywhere. People that need Jesus, and keep alert for those opportunities. People that need to know Him, but be on guard, on the alert in your prayer, discussing with God all the things that need to be discussed, our government, the health of our congregation, that COVID doesn't hurt us badly. Still in God's hand, but just lots to pray about, right? Keep alert in it. That's the whole idea here, is be on watch, be on guard. And so you ask, well, who should I, maybe before you pray or while you're praying, who should I be praying for? What should I be praying for? And there's so much. And as I investigate my own life, I go, man, step it up, Mike. There's still more you need to be praying about. So who or what needs prayer, but also specific prayers are greater, my words, than generic prayers. Generic prayers are good, but here's a generic prayer that I've prayed many times. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Good prayer. But what's better than that? To be specific about the things that we need to work on. Lord, help me to be more gentle as a husband or parent. Help me to be more patient when the beautiful creature that you gave me is talking and I don't understand what she's saying. Lord, help me be more considerate and thoughtful of my spouse. Those are greater. Generic prayers are fine, but specific prayers are greater because in those we address the things that we are very aware of that we need, but it takes more thought and it takes more time, it takes more energy. But they're more powerful. And we have Jesus giving examples of specific prayers, even in Matthew chapter 6 right there. So just some thoughts. If you're going to be devoted to prayer, and I know you are, and you're going to be keeping alert in it, consider being really specific about your needs or the needs of other people. So our next thought here, the third major point in Colossians 4:2 is devote yourself to prayer, keep it alert in it with thanksgiving. That's what it says in the Greek, with thanksgiving. We've looked at that concept 6 times already in this short letter, just over 3 chapters. And God 3 times is saying, pray with thanksgiving, overflow with gratitude, joyously giving thanks. When we end, we'll just briefly look at those because it is so big. The idea of giving thanks is so big that even secular schools, Harvard, Stanford, and many others, University of California, Berkeley, they're doing studies on longevity, on satisfaction in life. I've mentioned it 3 times now, but I'll say it again because I forget sometimes. The people who are continuously grateful live longer, better health, better relationships, do better at work, more productive. There are so many blessings from God. He didn't spell them out, but we're discovering them. Blessing from God for those that work on praying with thanksgiving. It's huge. It's huge. So we're talking about that, and it's really important to the Lord. In Romans 1:21, he says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give as God or give him thanks. So they knew about a God, but no thanks, didn't honor him. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. And one thing is clear, just in this book, 6 commands to be full of gratitude or thankfulness. And have those of you that drive, I'm assuming this happened to all of you, have you ever been in a really, really bad traffic jam? Well, you know, you're moving about a car length a minute. Once Tamara and I were stuck in one for an hour and a half, we moved 1 car length in Seattle. Just even being aggressive, I just couldn't move. So you ever been in a bad one where you're barely moving and up there about 10 minutes away, you see a car that's trying to turn onto into the lane you're in and no one's letting them in. And the blinker's on and they're right up close and they want in. And so you're getting closer and closer. I wonder if anybody will let them in and now it's your turn. Oh, we're moving so slowly. If I let them in, I might miss the next light and I'm already late and oh. So you say, you know, it's the right thing to do. I'd want them to let me in. So you touch your brakes and you let them go in and they turn. And not even an acknowledgement of your kindness and sacrifice. No wave, no honk, no flashing lights, just nothing. Big deal. Ever had that happen? Most of us have many times, right? How do you feel? I mean, it's kind of a downer. Because everybody loves to be thanked. And the one who blesses the most and gives the most loves to be thanked as well. So he's asking us, yes, it all honors him, but it absolutely blesses us too. And he's saying six times, give thanks when you pray. Overflow with gratitude. I love this one too. 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? What do you have you didn't receive? So let's see. You're not to speak a lot, but I believe I heard you're an accountant. So that means you probably went to college for it, I'm assuming, because I can't remember if it's Boeing or whatever, but most accountants have a lot of schooling and hard work behind them. So did you earn that or did God give that to you? Well, he gave the intelligence, he gave you the health to go to school. That came from God, even though you participated. And Salmon, your height. I mean, I would love just a couple inches of your height, but it wasn't because you were exercising. Maybe a little bit good nutrition from your parents maybe helped a half an inch, but God gave that to you. And those of you that have families, spouses, wives, parents, all a gift from God. What can you name something you have that you didn't get from God that's good? No, you can't. Well, yeah, I'm a farmer, man, and I plow every year, hundreds of hours of plowing and getting the weeds out, and I'm using the pesticides. Yeah, so let's see. Does your crop grow without rain? We don't usually irrigate in West Washington. Your crop grow without rain? So who gave you the rain? Where'd the seeds come from? So the point is this. It's really easy to forget, man, I did this by my own sweat, my own hard work. And he says, what do you have that you didn't receive from God? Nothing. Good reason to be thankful. Good reason to be thankful. And if you received it from God, which we did, why do you boast? Yeah, man. Look at my new car. Great to have a new car. Just glorify God with it, right? So I think that's the idea here is full of thanksgiving, overflowing with thanksgiving. Colossians 1, 11 and 12, here they are. Tells us there to joyously giving thanks. 2:7, overflowing with gratitude. 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule and be thankful. 3:16, sing with thankfulness in your hearts as we sang today. Sometimes I have to remind myself, I'm so focused on hitting the notes and I don't know the song well that I sometimes forget to sing with thankfulness, but that's the goal. Praising God, edifying each other, singing with thankfulness. 3:17, whatever you do, it goes on in Christ Jesus, giving thanks through him. 4:2, the one we're on now, be devoted to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. That was our main focus today. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. We not only enrich our own lives by doing these things, we enrich the lives of everybody we interact with. And I've been enriched by you for the 2 years that we've been a members here. Or almost to whatever it's been enriched by that. I thank you and I thank God and I do thank God for placing us in this congregation. Let's make this coming year a great one as we overflow with gratitude. If you have any spiritual needs, we'd love to hear them. If you'd like to become a Christian or just need prayer, let's stand up and sing the song of invitation. Come forward if we can help.